Okay, so it's 4 o'clock on Tuesday, April 21st. I want to thank everyone who is here for our study session. Superintendent.
Thank you. We're pleased to have three things for you tonight. We have discussion of school fees, which is queued up, so we'll go with that one first. We have the preliminary general fund budget for FY27 for your discussion, and then we have land trust plans. And so we'd love to thank and welcome Robert Boyer, our Assistant Business Administrator, Ryan Clark, and Crystal Michaelis. They'll be handling the budget and fee schedule. Ryan's going to take the lead on the fee discussion, and then Crystal, I think, is going to take the lead on the budget with Robert, and they can wrestle on kind of their points. Who's going to do that? And then Sam and Dave will help us out on trust lands. And as promised, thanks to Jake McDonald, our print services. I told you that I would have the from the superintendent's meeting a printout of the 2026 public education summary for the board. And where's your hard copy? I have hard copies for the cabinet as well in the office. So we'll be going through that in detail coming down the road. But Craig, I don't know if you, but yes, there you go. So with that, we'll turn some time over to Ryan to talk about school fees.
Great. Thank you, Superintendent. So as you're all aware, annually the fee schedules for the upcoming year must be approved by the board. We'll walk you through these tonight. There's not a lot of changes, so it should be fairly quick, but we'll present them, and then they will be formally presented or formally up for board approval in next month's board meeting. So I'll call your attention here first. In fact, if we can scroll down a little bit, I'm going to start at the bottom. What's on the screen is the elementary proposed fee schedule for the upcoming year. There's also a separate one for middle and junior high, and then a third one for high schools. So the main change, all the changes will be in red, so anything in red text is a change from last year, and you'll see there's just a couple. The primary change is this footnote at the bottom that indicates an additional required third-party system fee, 4% plus 10 cents per line item, rounded up to the nearest dollar, may be added regardless of payment method, for example, cash, check, card. The reason for this is, as you may be aware or probably aware, our fees processing platform, TES, was recently acquired by a third party. And as part of that acquisition, we are migrating to their software platform. And one nuance of the way their platform works is processing fees are priced in at the item level, which means they're to be included, they have to be charged on every line item in the transaction, and regardless of payment method. So we're adding this for clarity and to just represent that there will be, on top of the fees, there can be added that charge on all transactions regardless of payment method. And if you'll scroll back up to the top, we're removing this line where it says fees not to exceed printed maximums. Actual amount charged may be less, just to avoid confusion because of that new processing charge, there may be slight additions over the amounts that are printed on the fee schedules. So that's the primary change. Those are the only changes on the elementary fee schedule. If you want to shift to the
Ryan,
junior high,
let me go and just ask a simple question.
Sure.
I think it's more frequent now. You go and you use a credit card, there's a processing fee.
Right.
And that's kind of what this is. So if I'm taking before or after school band and I'm renting a trumpet, per se, on the elementary schedule, there was a $50 charge to rent that instrument.
Yep.
So it would be $50 plus 4% plus 10 cents.
Correct.
So it would be $52.10.
And it'll round up to the nearest dollar.
So $53 to
not having to make change and things like that.
Yep. So I just wanted to kind of talk through an example. Does that sound right?
Yes, that's exactly.
And that includes cash, right?
That's includes cash. Yep. And or check. In the case of the processor is only going to receive from us on credit card. On those cash and check, it will not be. It'll be retained by us. It's just the way it processes. Retained by the schools, I should say.
I'm confused. So why do we charge it if it's going to stay with the school?
It's required by the system, by the platform. On credit cards, it will not stay with the school. They will keep it. But it has to be charged the way that the new platform processes the charge.
It's because it's by item, and so you're setting a fee amount for each item that includes that processing fee. So we don't know whether they're paying cash or credit card. So the fee is set
at the pricing of the item.
Anyway, I just have never seen this before with any other system, so it will be unfamiliar to our parents.
Yes.
And they'll ask this question over and over again, so it would be, it's not terribly satisfying to say, well, it's this new system, so it would be nice probably to come up with a better answer. Or you're going to get lots of questions.
Yeah, that's
I think you purchase things in a variety of places and there's a service fee attached, so I don't think it's that
I've never seen a service fee on cash.
On cash, yeah, that's
good. Anyway, just, and this is the only vendor that we can find for this?
Not the only vendor. There are other vendors. We did evaluate others. It's the vendor that purchased the software that we were using, so we're upgrading to their platform as part of this conversion.
Anyway, there will be more questions, I predict.
And that same question's been asked a few times.
Yeah, we've wrestled with this, that's for sure. Yeah.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay, so up now we have the junior high, middle school PE schedule. Same changes as before at the top and bottom. The only additional change on this schedule and the high school is just the addition of specialty groups, where it said previously just performing arts fees, specialty groups for clarity. They're things like debate, for example, maybe or would be included in that. And then the removal of the word performing arts underneath that, since it's somewhat redundant. And that change is also made on the high school schedule, and those are the only changes versus last year's key schedules. Any other questions?
Okay. Seeing none. Thank you. You have you'll have access, board members, to the information in Notion and so forth. The approvals will be the same as what you've seen in the past. Mm-hmm. If there's any support or help that you need with that, let business services know. Okay.
Okay, we'll go over the operation budget recommendations for fiscal year 27. Went through the capital budget process in February, now going through the operations recommendations. So first in the business, on your board business dashboard, you have access, there's a link to the budget process there so you can look at the budget documents. We'll update those there for you. Okay, the district budget committee is made up of three board members, 17 district cabinet, which is the cabinet and advisory DLT advisory members, 10 cluster principals, 6 department personnel, and then non-voting committee members were invited support staff, business services, and there were some board members from the three districts that came to see that process. Okay, the timeline, we start the budget process in December, sending out the budget packets, and then have that information, the request sent back in by February. We gather that information, put it together, and then share that with the Finance Committee in March. I went through those requests. There were recommendations that were made in that meeting, and then took it to the District Budget Committee Operations Request meeting in March, March 18th. Received recommendations in that meeting. There were 5 teams of 6 to 8 people that kind of voted on the priorities of those requests, gathered that information, took that to Cabinet. Cabinet made recommendations March 25th, and then we met with the Finance Committee again on the 14th of April, and now today, the 21st, reviewing it with the board. Okay, so we're looking at new revenue that's coming in for operations, and a lot of that is based off from an increase in the WPU value. So this last year it increased 4.2%. So that new revenue that's coming in is what we're looking at, saying, okay, what do we use these funds for? And then I'll have Crystal jump in if I miss anything as we're going through this.
It's also significant to notice that there is going to be a projected decrease in students. So even though there is a 4.2% increase in the WPU, there is a decrease in students, which is a decrease in funding. So it doesn't go hand in hand.
Okay, so wanted to kind of show we're receiving new revenue from the WPU, but then there's also program eliminations that we're seeing this next year. Just wanted to show those. About $4.1 million in decreased funding for those programs. Digital teaching and learning, the $2.1 million. Competency-based education, about $62,000. Early literacy software, $1.2 million. National Board Certified Teachers, $14,000. STEM endorsement incentives, $193,000. Title I, $103,000. And student health and counseling, about $400,000. Then also, there's decreased funding on student fees, which we're aware of, that have to have the free pathway to education or graduation. And we don't have a number tied to that. We don't know the exact amount that would be. But that's also a decrease in funding. Okay, so the increase in the WPU value brings in about $21.4 million, so the projected state revenue WPU increase there at the top. Also have an increase of $27,000 for TSSA funding that comes in, and local resources, so repurposed funds, $6.4 million. So we're looking at an increase of $27.8 million. So that's the amount that we took to the different committees to see what priorities were, what requests were made, and then gathered those recommendations. And that's the allocation investment at the bottom, showing the majority is going to people. So change in compensation benefits for all employees, about $19.8 million. FTE for class size reduction, $4.1 million. FTE for special education, $2 million. CTE maintenance of effort, $910,000. And then on the operations side, the facility increase cost of $114,000, and the nursing changes of about $34,000. With that, then we're leaving, there's about $860,000 that's left to be discussed.
Appropriated by the board, should you choose to. Any questions on that? This was, thanks, Robert.
in the finance committee, just sharing in very simple ways with our public, here's the investment that's being made, and that's both legislative investment, but also repurposing of funds that this board has done, and that's that local resource. So I just wanted to point that out, and showing that in a clear way. I think this is the first time this has been laid out like this, and I think it's really easy for the public to look at that and say, here's new investments, and here's where you're allocating in this projected budget of where that investment will go. The majority of it is on people, and these are the areas, when we talk about FTEs, well, that's going to support class size or special ed or a specific purpose. So I think, again, kudos to the budget team and our business services for sharing information, I think, in a more simple, clear way as to what's coming in and how it's being allocated.
Any questions? This is going to go quick. Yeah. Want to go to the next slide? Next slide is budget for FY28.
Good.
That's up to the three districts. So this is the last year for Alpine doing the budgets for 27. So the next fiscal year, FY28, would be handled by the three districts. So just making kind of the recommendation that you begin that process this December and kind of go through the same process that we've gone through.
Okay.
I don't have
awesome.
The end slide, but that's the end.
Is that the end? Okay.
Theme.
Robert, that was so good.
Okay.
Any questions, board members? Any thoughts, information that you need?
I'm just going to provide feedback that I love the class size reductions on there. I hear a lot of patrons. The biggest problem when it's a school with only like one class per grade,
yeah,
and they have to get really big before you can split into two, and sometimes they're up around 40 students.
Yeah.
And I believe that a lot of this class size reduction is so that we can hit the hot spots like that, and that can make a huge difference to students and parents.
Agreed. I've heard a lot about that, and our supervisors do a great job with the resources that they have. Mark, we could always hit more hotspots if we had more resources allocated for that, because there are some areas of concern. And one of the things I think our team, especially at the elementary level, looks at is split classes. And we want to focus that support at those early grade levels, too, at that first and second, third grade levels to minimize those split classes. A split class of first grade students and second grade in one class is extremely difficult for our early learners. And so, again, I think they do a really good job at the secondary level. Doug can weigh in, or Dave. But they look at content areas that are your core content areas to try to target some of those or to maintain a core area offering. But I think that's really what our secondary does.
That's correct.
Okay. Sam, did I miss anything on the elementary level?
No.
Okay. All right. There's no other questions.
I mean, maybe we should talk about, we have very long finance meetings every month all year long.
It took a lot of work to get there.
It maybe went quickly today, but I think we've had some really good wrestles and, you know, figuring out where to put budget money. So sorry that everybody else does not also get to have that. I think it's one of the best meetings of the month, but just appreciative of our business services team. Really like the additions and the presentation. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Stop sharing.
Okay, stop sharing for budget. Now we'll switch over to Land Trust. Sam, are you going to go first, or is Dave going to go?
Dave's going to take it.
Sweet.
Sam covered everything. So, no, if you'll remember his training, just refer to that. And if we didn't resend it, we will. But April 1st, all the trust lands were due. We have all of them. No schools are pending, so we have all those. You'll be getting, each of you will be getting an electronic file with your schools. And so that, as soon as you get that file, you can start to review those plans. That will probably be, most likely be before the next board meeting. So this is timely that we're giving you this reminder. Jody will have looked at them for glaring errors and mistakes, whether that be grammar or math not adding up. So she'll review them. Then the supervisors will get them and review them. And we'll look a little bit more if they've got good goals and if they're spending coordinates with those goals. And so we'll look at them as well. And then they'll go to you in those files, and you can start looking at those. If you'll look kind of just generally, see if they're good goals, see if everything's got a good feel to it, if the spending seems reasonable. And then if you'd refer to mainly that page of unallowable expenses that Sam put in this slideshow, and the three main areas to kind of make sure a light goes on if you see them is capital, if they're doing any maintenance or a building, any improvements on their building that's not allowed. If there's admin costs, that shouldn't be in there. And then if you see anything athletic or activity-wise, if it's a curricular activity, that's probably allowed. But if it's something after-school activity or an athletic thing, that's probably another red flag that goes up. So those are the main three things that we see sometimes in plans. But you can refer to that unallowable expenses slide if you'd like to. A reminder that food is okay, that's always the question. But it's got to be really reasonable, and it's got to be connected to something in their plan. So, for example, if they're supporting PD for their teams in their plan, and they have a day of a content day with their math department, and they feed them lunch, that's probably a thumbs up. If they're feeding their faculty for faculty meetings, probably a thumbs down, not connected to their plan. And really, the state, as I've visited with the state just a couple times, their emphasis is if you guys think it's worthy of approval, then they aren't going to mess with it much. So it's kind of up to you. If you see something kind of funny and you're not quite sure, elementary schools, give Sam a call or email him. If it's secondary, give me a call or email me, and we'll be happy to jump on that and give you the information that you need. And I think that's it. Anything else you want to add, Sam? Okay, you'll be getting a file, just starting to review, and we'll probably want that from you within 2 or 3 weeks after you get the file, so that we can get all that done by the end of school. So, appreciate that.
Any questions, board members? Okay. Dave, Sam, thank you, and board president, back to you.
Okay, so we've come to the end of our study session agenda, and so we're adjourned until our meeting at 6 o'clock. Thank you.